Let's pray. Father, we've just sung, "Here's my heart, here's my life, speak." And the cry of our heart this morning, Lord, is that you would indeed speak to each one of us. You've brought us into your presence. You've made a way that we can boldly come before the throne of grace in the name of our Lord Jesus. And Lord, the cry of our heart this morning is that you would speak. Word of God, speak. Let it fall down like rain. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that beautiful music worship team. Some time ago, I heard a phrase that gripped me. Actually, my wife said it, which means that I was paying attention. And the phrase was this: my heart is full. My heart is full. She was speaking in reference to being invited to somewhere to speak, and she had been before the Lord, and she was ready because the Lord had given her something to say. And so at that time, I thought about that. My heart is full. I just really was caught by that. I've heard it several times since, but that was the first time that I'd heard it. Not too long ago, I spoke on, just a few weeks ago, on the joy of the Lord, the joy that we have as believers, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And last week, we talked about victory. Do you know that we have victory in our lives available to us without human effort? Victory. But the reality is, how can we have hearts that are full, hearts that are filled with joy, hearts that are filled with victory every moment if they're broken? So today I want us to look at a passage of Scripture, Psalm 147, a great passage from the songbook of the Old Testament. And we're going to look at one verse and one verse only today. And I want to do an exposition in my first point, and then the second two points, I want to bring application through New Testament glasses. So as we look today at how do you mend a broken heart, the psalmist writes in Psalm 147, verse 3, and he says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Now, if you were to do a Google search on those words, broken heart, in about 7/100ths of a second, you would have 11,500,000 websites available to you. I thought I'd share just a few with you this morning. One said, five steps to help heal a broken heart, including the heart repair calculator, a tool that shows how long it's going to take for that broken heart to be healed. And I know some of you are going to go check that one out as soon as you get to a computer. Or you can purchase a book from Amazon entitled "Empty Cradle, Broken Heart, Surviving the Death of Your Baby." Another website is called "Broken Heart, Relationships, Dating and Marriage, A Broken Heart and a Depression Aid Group." I heard a story of a guy who sent his picture into a Lonely Hearts Club, and they sent it back to him and said, "We're not that lonely." Here's another one. How do you mend a broken heart? Suggestions on how you help a loved one through the loss of a pet. Well, CBS did a documentary not too long ago entitled "Broken Heart Syndrome is Real." And doctors say that the loss of a loved one could really cause a broken heart. And they've dubbed the condition broken heart syndrome. Poets write about it. Singers sing about it. And every one of us in this room experienced it at one time or another. Every one of us. A teenage girl wrote this. She said, "A heart is not a plaything. A heart is not a toy. but if you want it broken, just give it to a boy. Maybe you'd rather, I saw a couple of young ladies shaking their head. Maybe you'd rather hear Randy Travis sing about it. He says, but I think there's enough pieces of forgiveness somewhere in my broken heart. Now, that's not real good grammar, but it's probably a good song. Or Reba McEntire, I guess the world ain't gonna stop for my broken heart. Or Billy Ray Cyrus, achy breaky heart. But probably no one put it together better than the Bee Gees, who wrote this. How do you mend a broken heart? How can you stop the rain from falling down? How can you stop the sun from shining? What makes the world go round? How can you mend this broken man? How can a loser ever win? Please help me mend my broken heart and let me live again. Now, some of you are going to be singing that for the rest of the day. You're welcome. Who is the most broken-hearted person you know? Who is the most broken-hearted person you have ever known? I think that one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do in my life is to go into a hospital room where a family had just lost a child. Grief. The grief was unbearable. Unbearable. You know, I wanted so much to heal their broken hearts, but there was nothing that I could say. There was nothing that I could do that would ever heal that broken heart. And the fact is, every one of us experience a broken heart at some point or another. Experience hurt that goes way, way, way too deep. And we have either had hurt or we have hurt, or it's coming. We will have hurt. How do we mend a broken heart? You see, if you haven't hurt to the point of having a broken heart, you just haven't lived long enough, because you will. There will come a time when circumstances will come into your life and you will hurt. Your heart will be broken. And I think that breaking process begins when we're children. Our birthday rolls around, Christmas time, and we receive a new toy and we play with it, and in a couple of days it's broken. We get a little bit older and we experience a broken promise. A parent or a friend or somebody makes a promise to us that they fully intend to keep, but for whatever reason, circumstances happen and the promise is broken and we hurt. We get a little bit older again and our hopes are dashed by circumstances and time. Pieces of our lives, our hearts lie strewn along the pathways of life, broken shards of hope. And you find yourself fighting a battle in a war you never intended to be declared. You find yourself dealing with pain and suffering and hurt that you never, ever intended to be that way. But before we get to the verse, I want to dispel a myth. Because believe it or not, there's a myth out there that says people who hurt to the point of a broken heart are just immature. You know, if they could just get over it, man, they need to suck it up and move on, and then they're going to get over this hurt, that broken heart. And I have to admit, from my perspective, there are people that wear their broken heart on their sleeve. And whether it happened 10 years ago or 10 months ago or 10 days ago, you dread to see them coming because you're going to hear their story. But the fact is, I believe that most people who have a broken heart would get over it if they could get over it. It hurts to have a broken heart. And if you could get over it, you would. Not everybody, not everyone who hurts and has a broken heart hurt because of their immaturity. They just can't get over it. Well, our text says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now, I got to give you a little bit of context from Psalm 147 because, pardon me, the nation of Israel at that time had been experiencing the sorrow and the despair of exile. You'll remember in 586, well, maybe some of you might remember in 586, but you remember in 586, for the third time, Nebuchadnezzar marches into Judea and into the city of Jerusalem, and he destroys the city, he destroys the temple, demolishes it, and he killed thousands of Jews, and then he took thousands more away in captivity. And so they are a nation who has just come out of captivity. They're a nation that's hurting. They're brokenhearted. And for 70 years, they've been in this captivity. And then God, in his mercy, forgave them, and he restores them. And the psalmist writes in Psalm 147, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." I want to share three things about that verse today. And the first one is this: only God can mend a broken heart. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now, I have to give you a little bit of background on this verse because that word, the word for heart in the Hebrew is the word lev, and it includes the totality of your being. It includes your emotions, your mind, your intellect, your will. It's all of who you are, the totality of your being. And it's the same for the New Testament word cardia, same thing. And when you hurt to the point of having a broken heart, it not only affects you emotionally, but it affects your mind, your thinking. It affects your will as well. And sometimes we hurt so bad that we just cannot function, whether it's emotionally or spiritually. We just can't seem to get it together. Sometimes we are so hurt and so broken, we can't even get out of bed. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. People who are hurt to the point of having a broken heart experience pain. That's the reality of it. But the verse says that only God can mend a broken heart. Now, the word for healed there is the word rapha. And you might want to write this in the margin of your Bible. You'll remember from Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, where the Lord tells the nation of Israel that he is Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that heals you. That he that's talked about in this verse is the Lord Jehovah, God that heals. Most of us in this room have been healed. You know, you've had a bone that is broken, and you've been healed physically. This bone has been mended back together, and you've been healed. Physical healing is very evident. It's for all to see. But an emotional healing is the most important of all. What about spiritual healing? What about spiritual healing? Really, that's the most important of all. Jehovah Rapha heals physically. Jehovah Rapha heals emotionally, and he heals spiritually. He heals the brokenhearted. And maybe there's someone here today that says, "Brother, I hear what you're saying, but God doesn't really care about me. He doesn't really care for me." Listen to this. Listen to this. "But when the light dies down from the paths I take, when strength is feeble and friends forsake, when love and music, which once did bless, have left me in silence and loneliness, when my life song changes to a sobering prayer, then my heart cries out for the one who cares." You don't think God cares for you enough to heal that broken heart? Well, the psalmist anticipated that you would think that, or that you might say that, and that's why he writes verse number 4. He counts the number of stars and he calls them all by name. Now, does that seem strange to you that he would put those two verses together? Strange that he would go from sobs to stars? Strange that he would go from broken hearts to heavenly bodies? Strange that maybe he might go from wounds to worlds? How do we reconcile these two verses together? How can they be brought together, to be working together? Well, the psalmist puts them together because he wants to remind us today that not only does God put the stars in the heaven, but he calls them all by name. Now, we're told that our galaxy, the Milky Way, has 100 billion stars, give or take 500 million or so. And get this, our galaxy is only one of about 500 billion out there. That's amazing, with however many stars that may be there. And yet, he calls them all by name. Have you ever heard of the International Star Registry? For $54 plus postage and handling, you can name a star for someone and they'll send you a package in the mail that's a piece of parchment, 12 by 16. It's got that person's name on it with a coordinate and a tracking system somewhere. Somehow, you can identify your star for that person all for $54 plus postage and handling. What a deal. What a deal. But I hate to dash your hopes. I'm sorry, but I don't want to put that International Star Registry out of business, but every star has already been named. He counts the number of stars, and he calls them all by name. The God of the stars is the same God of compassion, and he doesn't need a GPS to find them. He can find that hurt in your heart. He's the same God of compassion who knows every detail in your life. The God of the stars is the God of my scars. Now, I want you to think about this. He cares more about my scars than he does about those stars. Think about this. He cares more about my scars than he does about those stars. You know how I know that? Because he spoke those stars into existence with just a word. But it took his blood to save my soul. He cares far more about souls than he does about stars. And God knows all of those tiny little stars of sorrow that twinkle in our lives. He counts those stars. He knows them all by name, but he knows every scar that I have. Can you imagine that? You think he can't mend your broken heart? He took that storm that was in the life of that tax collector who came to the temple and he deflected it. That guy beat on his breast and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." He stood between the woman that was caught in adultery and those Pharisaical hounds who were braying for her as prey. And yet with one word, they cowered at his feet. He who forgave Peter's denying heart, that one who took Thomas's doubting heart and Judas's traitor's heart, he who healed Zacchaeus's greedy heart, who healed Mary Magdalene's dirty heart, who healed Martha's busy heart, crowded heart, who took Paul's murderous heart, the one who took that centurion's calloused heart, the Gadarene's demon-possessed heart, he took them all and healed those broken hearts. Do you really think that he might not have enough healing to heal your broken heart? Do you really think that? Look at this verse again. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now, that word wounds in the Hebrew describes a pretty serious gash. It's a severe gash, a serious wound. And the phrase binds up means containment. And if you're injured to the point where you have a serious wound and it isn't bound up and contained, then, you know, infection can come. And it might become serious enough that it might take your life. Listen, when the Lord Jesus Christ binds up your wounds, he fixes it for good. You can count on it. But until you're willing to bring him the pieces of that broken heart, until you're willing to bring your wound to the healer, and until you can deal with whatever it was that caused the wounds, that wound can't be healed. It won't work. Now, I am prone to slivers. I don't like them, and I'm a sock. I'm the first to admit it. I get a sliver, I go get a needle, I take it to my wife, and she goes about digging it out. And sometimes it hurts. It can hurt. But you know what? Once that problem has been dealt with, healing can begin. The Lord Jesus wants today to fix your broken heart. And if you will bring him the pieces, only God can mend a broken heart. The second thing I want you to see today is not only can only God mend a broken heart, only God can bring blessing from a broken heart. Now, it's not in the verse, but when you put those New Testament glasses on and we look at this, that we discover there are a whole lot of examples in the New Testament that only God can mend a broken heart. Only God can take a broken heart and bring blessing out of it. As a matter of fact, have you ever discovered in the New Testament the principle that God uses broken things? Back in Matthew, he used a broken loaves and fish. In Mark, it was a broken roof. In Luke, it was a broken perfume bottle. And in John, it was the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. God uses broken things. Now, if you were to look up that word broken in the dictionary, one of the meanings that we see is to tame, to tame. And we talk about breaking a wild horse, and the result of being that horse being broken, the result is that all of its power and strength is channeled to good use. It's tamed. But did you know that even after we become Christians, we have a wild heart? God knows that. He knows that. And one of the things that he uses to bring ultimate healing into our lives is suffering. God uses pain that's been brought under his control. Listen, so that he can bless you and others through that. And that's what Paul discovered over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about that thorn in his flesh. Paul learned the lesson that God had said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And Paul learned that lesson. That's why he goes on to say, "Therefore, I will glory in my weakness." What was originally pain in his life now turns out to be blessing. Only God can mend a broken heart, and only God can bring blessing out of the broken heart. And you can pray one of three ways about that broken heart. You can pray and ask the Lord, first of all, to escape the hurt. Or secondly, you can pray and ask the Lord to give you the strength to endure the hurt. But the key is to be able to pray and ask the Lord to enlist the hurt. And you say, "Pastor, what do you mean by enlist the hurt? What do you mean by that?" Listen, pray for that hurt's conversion. Not necessarily its removal. When I found out that I had cancer, I asked the Lord to make it my pastor, my teacher. I said, "Lord, I don't know what you want to teach me through this, but help me to be a quick learner. Help me to be a good student." We need to wait on the Lord, his timing to remove it. So why not pray for pain's conversion? Because, you know, when that hurt and that pain is converted through suffering, it does what it did for Jesus on the cross. It brings great blessing. Only God can mend a broken heart. Only God can bring blessing out of a broken heart. And I've been told that there's a thing out there now called painless dentistry. I don't believe it. I ain't buying it. Painless dentistry. Somewhere out there is painless dentistry. But I want you to hear something, folks. There is no such thing as painless power in the life of a Christian. No such thing. Listen to this. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but I was none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. A.W. Tozer, famous for a lot of things, but one of his great quotes and my favorite of all is this: God never uses a man greatly until he has wounded him deeply. There were two birds that were up in a limb, high up in a limb, and one was a young bird and one was an old bird. The young bird looked at the old bird and he said, "Man, you look like you've been in a bad bird wreck. I mean, you look done. Your wing looks like it's about to fall off. Whatever happened?" And the old bird said, "Well, one day I was flying along, minding my own business, but I was flying into a place where I shouldn't have been. And I hit something and I fell and it broke my wing. I had to find a way to get into the bushes to escape predators. And I stayed there until I could heal enough to fly up into a limb and then wait again until I was able to fly. Finally, I could fly again. But my wing didn't quite heal." After a while, that young bird looked at the old bird and he said, "I'll bet you I can fly further than you." The old bird said, "I'll bet you can too." The young bird said, "I bet you I can fly faster than you." And the old bird said, "I bet you can too." And the young bird said, "I bet you I can fly higher than you." And the old bird said, "I'll bet you can too, but I'll tell you one thing. I'll bet you don't enjoy flying as much as I do." Folks, there is a power, a blessing, a ministry that comes on the other side of a broken heart. Every scar has a story, doesn't it? I've got all kinds of scars, and every one of them has a story. Some of them aren't so pleasant. Some of you have scars. And there's a story behind every one of your scars. Remember when the risen Lord met with his disciples in the upper room and he showed them his scars, his hands, his feet, his side? Do you realize the only thing man-made in heaven are the scars on our Savior's body? Sobering, isn't it? Sobering. According to Revelation, he still has them. It says the lamb who was slain as he had been slain. I'm sorry, the lamb who was as he had been slain. Those scars are tangible evidence of his love for you and I. And they're still there for us to see. Only God can mend a broken heart. Only God can bring blessing out of a broken heart. And God allows your hurt, he allows that broken heart that he might bring blessing. And that blessing is Christ-likeness into our lives. But very quickly, I want to show you a third thing as I close. Only God can give you a ministry on the other side of a broken heart. You see, Jesus' heart was broken just like his body was. The death of our Savior on the cross procured our salvation and the blessing he brings and continues to bring and the ministry of salvation that he gives to us is for anyone, any one of us who come believing in him. And it all comes from his total willingness to have scars. His willingness to go through the hurt, to bear the pain, and to take your sin and my sin and the sin of the world. You see, the God of the stars is the God of the scars, because he's the one who bears those scars. And the same Jesus Christ, who has such a ministry of reconciliation and salvation, wants to touch your broken heart. He wants to use you to be a blessing to others. Only God can mend a broken heart, and only God can bring a ministry on the other side of that broken heart. The Bible teaches us that every heart, every one of us, every heart is not only broken ultimately, not only emotionally, but spiritually because of sin. And, you know, we are guilty sinners by nature, but then at some point we're guilty by choice, right? And if we are ever, ever going to experience salvation, experience joy unspeakable, full of glory, victory in our lives, if we're ever going to experience all that he has for us, then we need to bring him a heart that's broken over sin. You and I are most blessed because of his Holy Spirit that works in our lives if we know him. He's drawing each of us today into his presence. We sang about it, take my life, take my heart, speak. He's speaking here real loud this morning. And you know how I know that? I can see it all over your faces. He's speaking. I want you to know that he's the one who can save you. He is the one who can heal you. And if there's one person under the sound of my voice today who is not a Christian, God is breaking your heart over sin for the purpose of drawing you into his presence, to the presence of his son, so that you might be saved. It says, by his stripes, his scars, you were healed. Jesus is the wounded healer. Think about this. I love this. A scar is evidence that there was a wound. But the very fact that there's a scar is evidence that there was a healing. The only way God the Father could save you was to allow his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be broken. But aren't you glad that the wounded healer, the Lord Jesus Christ, bears those scars? And he does it as tangible evidence of his love for you and I. He paid the price. And if God would allow his own son, his only son, to suffer in that way, should you be surprised by your suffering? In order to conform you and I to his image, and in order to use you and I to bless others, he allows your broken heart. He allows that hurt. Would you resist? Really? Would you resist? Only love can break, mend a broken heart. Only love can mend it again. Let me say that again. Only love can break a heart, and only love can mend it again. So what does God want to do with your broken heart today? What are you willing for God to do with your broken heart today? If you are here today and you aren't a Christian and your heart is broken over sin, I want you to hear me. The God of this universe, the God of all there is, the God of the stars says, I know those scars that you have in your life. I know about your sin. My son took those sins and he bore them on the cross for each one of us. And if you'll repent today and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Maybe you're here today and you've got a broken heart over something else. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's broken medically. Maybe it's broken financially. Whatever your situation is, he invites you to bring the pieces of those broken hearts to him And so that's where I am right now. I'm at the invitation. I want you to stand with me. The group is going to come. We're going to sing a closing hymn. And I want you to know that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up those wounds. Are you willing to come to him this morning? Let me pray. Father in heaven, I pray that even in this moment, you would sweep across this meeting and draw to yourself the one who needs you. Father, I pray for the one that hurts the most. I pray that you would fall fresh on us today and give us your strength. Thank you again, Father, for your word, for your truth, and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we ask. Amen.